Numbers chapter 12. And our text for this morning is at verse 1. No, Numbers 12 and verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Moses felt the weight of the burden that was upon him as Israel's leader. Each day he seemed to have new critics, seemed to have to listen to more complaining and criticism from the children of Israel. And when Moses had to listen to the chiding of the people, they complained to him that they had no flesh to eat. Just another complaint. It seemed as though Moses had exhausted his store of endurance. Moses then cried out to the Lord, telling the Lord that he felt he could not go on. If you look there at Numbers 11, and there in verse 14, there we read, Moses said, I am not able. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. Poor Moses, because of the weight of the load that he was carrying upon his shoulders and upon his heart, and the children of Israel complaining, it seemed to be all the time. We've just read in those verses, Moses felt he just could not go on. How many times have people felt that way? They just felt they could not go on. Well, the Lord was pleased to answer the cry of Moses, telling him to go and choose out 70 men, 70 elders who would be able to assist him. Chapter 11 of Numbers, verse 17. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And so Moses was going to have 70 elders to bear the burden of the children of Israel and share that burden with him. This he did. In the meantime, God dealt severely with those who were complaining about not having flesh to eat. If you look there at verses 33 and 34 of chapter 11, verse 33, and while the flesh was yet between their teeth, the Lord had given them flesh, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. That is, the people who had been gone on complaining and complaining to Moses that they had no flesh to eat. And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hatzavah, because there they buried the people that lusted, the people who had lusted after flesh and complained. Well, the Lord dealt with them in severity, smote them, and we are told that they had to bury the people who lusted. So once again, children of Israel were digging graves in the wilderness ere they reached the land of promise. After that incident, they moved on. Verse 35 tells us that they came to Hazeroth. But in spite of the digging of the graves and the burying of the complainers, there in the wilderness, there were some who did not learn any lessons from the way that the Lord had dealt with the complainers. There were some who went on complaining. And for Moses, this time, the complaints and the criticism came from the lips of those whom he knew very well. His own sister, Miriam. His own brother, Aaron. They were the ones who complained this time against Moses. And so let us consider what led to this criticism of Moses and the consequences that followed. And I want to look in particular at how Moses dealt with the criticism. We notice, first of all, then here in our text, the criticizing of Moses. We read, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman." There's the criticism. This must have been very hard for Moses to bear and hurtful, that his own sister and brother would speak against him, as we read there in verse 1. Let us consider, first of all, in this criticism, let us consider the pettiness of Miriam and Aaron. Since Miriam is mentioned first, says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses." And since Miriam is mentioned first, she evidently was the one who instigated the criticism of Moses, and Aaron just followed along with his sister. It was strange that here in this first verse, we find that Miriam brought up something against Moses which had happened 40 years ago. 40 years ago, Moses had married this woman, Zipporah. And it was strange that she had kept this in her heart for 40 years. Moses had helped the 7 daughters of a priest of Midian to draw water from a well 40 years before. And that priest wanted to thank Moses for what he had done, and he was invited to the home and was fed. And as a result, we read that he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter, to wife. You need to go back to Exodus 2 and verse 21 to find that record. It happened 40 years before. And yet here we have Miriam bringing up something that had happened 40 years before. And God did not prohibit the marriage. And it was perfectly lawful for him to marry Zipporah. But here we have Miriam, for whatever reason, she harbored a grudge against her brother, and she held that grudge for 40 years. Hard to take in, isn't it? And yet here is this woman, and that's what she did. harbored a grudge against her brother, her own brother, for 40 years. God's word declares, Leviticus 19, verse 18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of the people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. That's God's word. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of the people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. We should notice how that verse ends. It ends with the words, I am the Lord. As though to emphasize, the Lord spoke these words, and also the Lord reminded the people, if they held a grudge, they would have to answer to the Lord. I am the Lord. The Apostle James emphasizes the same truth. Listen, grudge not one against another, brethren. Mark that. He's talking to God's people. He's telling God's people not to bear a grudge. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. By whom? By the Lord. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. Isn't that a strange expression? Behold, the judge standeth at the door. Christ, of course, is the judge of all the earth. And when James says the judge standeth at the door, he's saying the Lord is near at hand. It's like someone coming up to a person's front door and they're about to knock the door when they hear a yelling and a screaming inside and there's an argument and they're able to hear it. Well, here's the Lord. He's standing at the door. James is saying he's standing listening. Bear not a grudge against another, brethren. The Lord is standing listening. And you look there at Numbers 12 and verse 2, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken by us? And the Lord heard it. He's standing at the door, as it were. He heard the conversation of Miriam and Aaron and how they spoke against Moses and how they criticized Moses. And the Lord, all the time, was standing listening. Oh, if only we were more conscious of the fact that the Lord hears every conversation, every word we speak, the Lord hears it. He's standing at the door. As well as the pettiness, we notice also the problem. What was it that prompted Miriam to bring up the matter of whom Moses married? Notice carefully how verses 1 and 2 are linked together. Verse 1, now Moses and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman, and they said. You see how the one verse is linked to the other? In other words, we can just imagine Miriam, and there she is standing complaining to Moses, or to Aaron, about Moses. There she's talking away to Aaron, speaking against Moses, and the one topic led to the other. It was as if in speaking against Moses because he had married an Ethiopian woman. That was just something, as it were, that primed the pump and got her going. And then she went on to speak against Moses and said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only to Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" That was the problem. She was jealous of Moses and wondered why God had spoken to Moses and they hadn't spoken to her. And she shared this criticism with Aaron, and it would appear he went along with it, and they spake against Moses. Miriam, by holding this grudge against Moses and then making it known to Aaron, she poisoned the mind of Aaron with her pettiness, her criticism, and the grudge that she held. And the problem was, she and Aaron were not content with the position that they had been given by God. What was their position? Miriam was a prophetess. Aaron was a high priest. If you go over to Micah, the minor prophet Micah, and there in chapter 6, Micah chapter 6, and there we read in verse 4, "For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants." Listen. "And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam." Notice the order. Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. In other words, Aaron and Miriam were sent by God to assist Moses in leading Israel out of Egypt. But Miriam, along with Aaron, was not content with that position. She wanted a higher position. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Why has he not spoken by us?" She was jealous of Moses and shared that jealousy with Aaron. And the two of them wanted a higher position. It reminds us of the disciples. You turn over to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And there we read in verse 33. "And he came to Capernaum," that's the Lord, "and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves, who should be the greatest? And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first," that's what the disciples wanted, "if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." Can you imagine? The disciples, they had been called by God, the Lord Jesus, to be the Lord's disciples, to be his servants. What an honor, what a privilege, but they weren't satisfied with that. They weren't content with that. They wanted a higher position. They had an argument amongst themselves. Who would be the greatest amongst them? They had an argument. The word dispute, obviously, that's what it means. They were not content with simply being called the Lord's disciples. They wanted something greater, something higher. And the Lord said, if you want to be first, you'll be last of all. That would humble them all right, wouldn't it? And so Miriam was jealous of her brother Moses, complained to Aaron about it, and he went along with her. And they both spake against Moses. So we have the pettiness, we have the problem, and then we have the pride. Speaking against Moses only showed the pride that ruled their hearts and ruled their lives. Again, we look at verse 2, and they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" They were so full of self-importance. And when you look at it, it doesn't paint a very pretty picture. Remember, Miriam, a prophetess. Aaron, a high priest. And there they are, full of pride and self-importance and speaking against God's servant. The same spirit of pride ruled in the heart of one by the name of Diotrephes. Amazing, the man's only mentioned once in the Bible. And the one thing that is said about him is regarding his pride, his self-importance, his self-promotion. 3 John verse 9, Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them. Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among his fellows. And how the Lord hates a proud heart. For it is written, Proverbs 16, verse 5, "Every one that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord." That puts Miriam and Aaron now in a different light, doesn't it? To what they thought they were. They thought that the Lord should speak by them and through them as he had spoken through Moses. They were filled with self-importance. They loved to have the preeminence. And the Lord said that he that is has a pride, his pride in heart, is an abomination to the Lord. Was this not an indictment against Miriam and Aaron and their behavior? One a prophetess, the other a high priest, who spake against their own brother, Moses, because they craved a higher position than what the Lord had given to them. They certainly did not demonstrate the behavior of a couple that should have been spiritual. Prophetess, a high priest. Reminds us again of the words of the prophet Micah. But we read there in Micah chapter 6. In Micah 6, in verse 8, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good." Pride is not good. It's an abomination. We've just read that. "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require?" What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy? Two things that Miriam and Aaron did not demonstrate at all. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. Walk humbly with thy God. It's interesting. Those two words, walk humbly. Those words can be read, humble thyself to walk with God. Think of that. Think of those words. Humble thyself to walk with God. In other words, the person who does not humble him or herself cannot claim to walk with God. Humble thyself to walk with God. Moses was a man who walked with God. Enoch was a man who walked with God. Noah was a man who walked with God. They were humble individuals. But Miriam and Aaron were so full of pride that they could not claim to be a people who walk with God. That's what the Lord requires of us. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. As well as the pettiness and the problem and the pride, we notice here also the punishment. We did say, and we did quote those words in Proverbs, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Well, we find the punishment. What followed would indicate again that Miriam was the one who led the criticism of Moses. Because we find, first of all, when God spoke to the three of them, he called the three of them out, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, and he spoke to them. He addressed Moses first. He put Moses in his proper place. He was not in that place as far as Miriam and Aaron were concerned. They wanted to be at least level with him or even above him. When we read about the criticism, Miriam is mentioned first. But in verse 4, the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. See? There was the proper order. Moses was first. And where did the Lord put Miriam? He put her last. But that wasn't all. Miriam paid for her proud behavior and her criticizing of Moses. You get down to verse 9. The anger of the Lord was kindled against them. That is Miriam and Aaron. Kindled against them and he departed. And the cloud departed, the symbol of God's presence, from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous. White as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. What comes to mind here are the words of David. Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Words recorded by David, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 22. And there, do not touch my prophets, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Miriam paid the price for her criticism, her speaking against God's servants. Moses, God's chosen and anointed leader. Solomon said, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. We've seen the pride of Miriam, and what followed? Shame. The shame of being a leper. And we know how lepers in Bible times were complete outcasts. Nobody wanted to go near them. Miriam's now a leper because of her pride. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Proverbs 11 and 2. And what could be more shameful than to become leprous? The Lord has his own way of humbling the proud. And this is how he dealt with Miriam, as she was joined by Aaron, and they spake against Moses. So we have considered criticizing of Moses. That leads us then to consider the commending of Moses. Here we have a completely different picture than the one painted by Miriam and Aaron. When God summoned Moses and Aaron and Miriam before him, he had a word for them. Look at verse 6. And he said, "Hear now my words." Aaron had listened to the words of Miriam. God now had a word for the both of them. Here, regarding the word of the Lord, we notice the rebuke. The Lord rebuked them. He said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so." In other words, the Lord was saying to Miriam and Aaron, "My servant Moses holds a higher position than you do. When I speak to prophets, I do so by way of a vision and a dream. But that's not how I spoke to Moses." The Lord here rebuked Miriam and Aaron when they criticized the man of God. But the Lord stood up for Moses. They criticized him, but the Lord commended him. This reminds us of that time the woman in the Lord's public ministry came and she anointed the Lord. And we read, they murmured against her. That is, the disciples. They saw this woman come and anoint the Lord with precious ointment, and they thought, what a waste, and they murmured against her. But the Lord was not going to let it happen, because the Lord came to the woman's defense, just as he came to the defense of Moses. The Lord came to the woman's defense, and Jesus said, "Let her alone. Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. She hath done what she could." She did more than the disciples were prepared to do. All they were prepared to do was murmur against her. But the Lord came to her side, and the Lord stood up for her and said, "Let her alone. That's enough. She has done what she could." And the Lord will always commend us for doing what we can. The disciples weren't prepared to do anything but criticize. And Miriam and Aaron, criticized Moses. And it was as if Moses in this rebuke said, let him alone. Let him alone. He hath wrought a good work for me. We can always be sure that the Lord will always stand up for us. Always be sure the Lord will come and stand by our side and he'll defend us against criticism when we do our best in our service for him. As well as the rebuke, we have the relationship. Miriam and Aaron had spoken against Moses because God had spoken by him, by Moses, not by Miriam and Aaron. Here we see God, first of all, speaks about the difference. Miriam and Aaron thought more of themselves than they should have. And the Lord now points that out to him, and particularly to Miriam. Again, we look at the verse 6. Hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, and I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. That's how the Lord made his will known to prophets and to a high priest. By visions and by dreams. But then the Lord revealed to Moses, or to Miriam and to Aaron, how he spoke and made his will known to Moses. And what a difference. If he revealed his will to prophets and priests by dreams and visions, how did he make his will known to Moses? Well, we are told in verse 8, with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. In other words, he saw the glory of God. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? How did the Lord speak to Moses? How did the Lord make his will known to Moses? He did so by speaking to him mouth to mouth. As we have noted before, as a friend speaketh with a friend. That was the difference. And the speakers of, and this speaks of the intimate relationship that existed between Moses and his God. A relationship that the complaining, criticizing, carnal, fleshly Miriam knew nothing about. As well as the difference, we notice the dedication of Moses. God is speaking about his servant, and what a wonderful testimony God had for Moses. In verse 7, my servant Moses. He always referred to Moses in that way. My servant Moses is not so. In other words, I didn't speak to Moses by dreams and visions. My servant Moses not so, who is faithful. In all mine house, the word house would refer to the camp of Israel. He's faithful. And here you have Miriam and Aaron speaking against Moses. And here you have God speaking for Moses. He's faithful. In other words, God is saying to Miriam and Aaron, leave my servant Moses alone. He's faithful in all his house. There's his dedication. There's his dedication. He was dedicated to serving his God. And in serving his God, he was faithful in all that he did. That's what God had to say about Moses. This teaches us something. It teaches us it doesn't matter what man may say about us. It's what God says about us. That's what matters. That's what matters. As well as the difference in the dedication of Moses, we notice here the demand. Verse 8. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Were you not afraid to speak against him, seeing he held such a high position in my heart and my mind and my estimation? A man who was faithful in all his house, a man whom I spoke to mouth to mouth, face to face, as a friend would speak to a friend. Were you not afraid to speak against such a man? It really shows us how this woman's bitterness showed itself, how this pettiness and carnal behavior and criticism of Moses had ruled her life. She never thought anything of criticizing God's servant, my servant Moses, whom I speak to mouth to mouth, face to face, as a friend speaks with a friend. You know, the Lord's defense of Moses reminds us of the words that we have in Zechariah. There in Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8, the Lord is speaking about Zion. And the Lord said, he that touches you toucheth the apple of mine eye. And those words could be applied to Moses and spoken to Miriam and Aaron. If you touch my servant Moses with your criticism and your carnal behavior, you're touching the apple of my eye. And we all know how sensitive the eye is. Well, the Lord God was sensitive. He was sensitive to Miriam and Aaron criticizing Moses. It was like touching the eye of God. We notice then, in closing, the complaint or the criticizing of Moses, the commending of Moses. That brings us to the character of Moses. We can say this story has a happy ending as far as Moses is concerned. And we see here in the character of Moses what a truly lovely, godly, Christ-like man Moses was, in stark contrast to the carnal, fleshly, proud Miriam. Look at it. First of all, notice his silence. That is the silence of Moses. We go back to the beginning of the chapter. And they said, we've read in verse 1, that they spake against Moses. In verse 2, they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And so there you have, in verse 1 and verse 2, the criticism of Moses. Now verse 3. "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." There you have the silence of Moses. In other words, Miriam, aided by Aaron, criticized Moses, and Moses never said a word. There's a silence. He never said a word. He didn't respond in kind. He didn't speak out against Miriam and Moses. He didn't even try and defend himself. He remained silent. He never said a word. He let the Lord do the speaking. For we read in verse 4, "And the Lord spake." Moses didn't. Moses didn't turn and begin speaking against those who had criticized him. He remained silent. Perhaps to preserve the unity of the family. And just simply to let God deal with the matter. And his silence before his critics reminds us of another. Another who's greater than Moses even, the Lord Jesus Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. He remained silent. He reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He left the matter with his heavenly Father. Moses was criticized. He never said a word. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. And what did he do? He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He was silent. I notice not only his silence, I notice his spirituality. We see why Moses did not fly into a rage and begin criticizing Miriam and Aaron. Why? Because the man Moses was very meek. That shows us he was a lovely, spiritual, gentle man. Moses was very weak, meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. I said at the beginning there, looking at the character of Moses, he was Christ-like. What did Paul say about the Lord? Paul spoke about the Lord referring to the meekness and gentleness of Christ. What a lovely description of the Lord. The Lord himself said, "I am meek and lowly of heart." Paul says in Ephesians 4, verses 2 and 3, "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." That was Moses, in stark contrast to Miriam and Aaron. They spake against Moses, and Moses never said a word. His silence, his spirituality, his supplication. This is what sets Moses apart. Verse 10, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed with the leprosy, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. Look at verse 13. After all that Miriam and Aaron said against Moses, verse 13, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. No, he didn't cry against Miriam. The only crying Moses did was to the God of heaven. That shows us the character of this man, Moses. That shows us how spiritual this man, Moses, was. Moses, a Christ-like man. And here he prays for the woman who had criticized him. Here he prays for the woman who spake against him. Who does that remind you of? Reminds us again of the Lord Jesus when he hung upon the cross. What did he cry? He cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He prayed for those who had persecuted him. He prayed for those who had crucified him. He prayed for those who cried out against him. And here's Moses, and he prays for the very woman who spake against him and held a grudge against him for 40 years. And she was smitten with leprosy. He prayed for her. That was Christ-like. And didn't the dear Savior tell us to follow his example? I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for them. Don't hold a grudge. Don't be bitter, as Miriam was. Instead, Moses, as I say, did not respond in kind, but he prayed for the person who had persecuted him with her criticism. Moses shows us how to deal with criticism. What a great man he was. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Oh, our dear Lord, we bow again before thee. We thank thee, Lord, that in the days of our sin, we sinned against thee. We spoke against thee. And yet, Lord, thou didst still pray for us. And those prayers were answered the day that we were saved. Lord, we look at Moses. We admire the character of this man. How spiritually minded he was. How faithful he was to the Lord. Remained silent when he was criticized. Oh, Lord, what a man Moses was, so like Christ. Lord, make us like Christ also. Be pleased, Lord, to write the word today upon our hearts. Be with us now as we make our way home, and return us, dear Lord, to thy house this evening to spend time again with thee around thy word. Be with us, Lord, all of us throughout this week. Keep us safe and well. Keep the plague from our dwellings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.